is PFW in progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
BFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what he really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone, and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
All right, we've got our shine boxes. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. PFW in progress. It's a Friday, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock, taking your emails and phone calls and talking Patriots, getting ready for the Jets game, 4:15 on Sunday in the Meadowlands. And I'm ready, Tom. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready. Okay. Well, just a little programming note right off the top.
Are you ready for some football?
I am, GW. We used to do our picks on Friday in the second hour. We did them yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now, in our second hour, Mike Felger is going to be joining us as a regular participant of the Friday show. Mike of
Five.
The Boston
is
Herald.
Is it possible to have a clapped lung for a short period of time?
He's got a show on
FSN
now, and he's got his radio program on ESPN.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, he's all...
He's worse than Paul. Yeah, look at that douchebag.
Well, the two of them should go into business together, you know,
yeah, they really
in the
should.
Red light district. Because they're both hoas. But, so he'll be here, and then one of the reasons he's here is they're going to be bringing down players for him to interview, tape, you know, to tape for his show at 4 o'clock, which is also heard on Patriots.com radio. But when he does, you and I, Tom, will step aside and let him do his one-on-one interview. But the bonus for our listeners is that they get to hear it live.
Right.
They don't have to wait till 4 o'clock for his show. So that's pretty cool. It's a neat new little feature that Gary worked out for the Friday show.
Gary's always working.
Well, he's trying to please everybody.
Yep.
He came out with a way to, you know, make it work. So
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And I don't mind doing the picks on Thursday.
That doesn't matter to me.
Nothing really changes that much.
No.
You know I'm going to be 8-8 no matter what, so it doesn't matter. Or 6-10.
I was going to say you're shooting a little high there, aren't you,
well,
with 8-8?
Don't let them. There were years that I killed them, believe me.
I got Gary shaking his head no in there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hell no.
All right. So Belichick had his press conference today. Injury report came out yesterday. No big surprises, although Artrell Hawkins got added to the report. Questionable. And Rodney Harrison has the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's pretty much the same as it was last week.
Yeah.
So,
I'll definitely win the long ball drive today.
And, you know, Belichick was asked about Chad Jackson. You know, basically, he's not going to give away much, but says, you know, it's just good that he's out there.
I thought that was kind of telling. He said, at least he's out there.
Yeah.
You know, I get a feeling he's just not that thrilled with the whole.
I think that, you know.
I agree with you. I think there's more going on here than just the hamstring. I don't think. Maybe they weren't happy with the way he conducted himself early on here, and they've been, you know, letting him know how things are supposed to be, and he's learning that while he's learning the playbook, that type of stuff.
I think he's giving him similar treatment to the way Parcells used to give rookies, especially rookies that might have a little bit of a high opinion of themselves.
Right.
you know, I remember there's no more modest and humble player than Curtis Martin was.
He's doing good.
And I remember Curtis Martin's first year, might have been even his first year, game here at Foxborough. He had 120 yards or something. He had a really good game. And Parcells, you know, calling him the one-game wonder.
Yeah.
You know, so none of these guys are going to, you know, be getting high praise from Belichick in their first year. And especially a guy who hasn't been out in practice but three practices. So he's going to get the treatment. And like you and I both think, there might be something more to it than just the usual rookie treatment. He may have not done exactly what he was supposed to do when it came to the classroom or something, because, you know, he should have been out in that field a lot earlier.
Yeah, a lot earlier. I mean, and, you know, there's been some things floating around, and it's probably not just the hamstring, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so let's hope he can overcome that and contribute to this team.
Yeah, 'cause physically, I mean, he's got all the tools.
Right.
He's big, he's fast, he's strong. He looks like that, like we say, Deion Branch wasn't a true number one just because of his size. He just was a little short and small. But Chad Jackson has the number one receiver look to him. And if he can get on the field, grow up a little bit, you know, put the injuries behind him, he could really develop into that target that Tom Brady needs right now.
Yep. So let's hope that he does something. You know, there's a chance that he could play this week, although I doubt it. But there's more of a chance, I think, that Doug Gabriel sees the field. He's listed.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be on the field this week.
So I think it would just be a great thing for this team to have a guy like Gabriel come out, catch 8 or 9 balls this week, just to kind of take the pressure off that one conversation, you know, for a week. You know, who is Brady going to throw to? Get him out there, get him catching a few balls. And
yeah, like we said before, and if no one ends up doing that, then they can put more attention on Ben Watson, you know, and try to take him out of the game more. But if you get a guy out there who Brady can go 6, 7, 8 times a game, then you can't just focus all your attention on Watson. That gives him one-on-one matchups, and there's not very many people in the league who can cover him one-on-one.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And here talking about the Patriots getting ready for the Jets game. You know, now, I know Paul thinks it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game.
I think it's going to be close.
Yeah.
And I don't feel at this point right now that the Patriots can blow a lot of teams out unless their defense just smothers them. Now, if that happens, if the front seven just totally dominates, then they'll have that chance to pull away. But offensively, I think they're still finding themselves a little bit. They got a lot of new guys there, you know, two new tight ends and new running backs. And I think they're trying to, you know, get their feet under them. And, you know, I still think they can beat the Jets even if they don't play a great game like they did the Bills.
Right.
You know, because Brady could make some plays down the end there and they could pull it out. But then we start the season. You know, we got the Broncos, you got Cincinnati, the Dolphins, the Colts. So if you're still playing the way you played last week against them, you're not going to win.
That's it. You know, with the Jets, though, I just think that their defense is good enough.
It is.
You know, I don't think the Patriots are going to put up a lot of points. But at the same time, I think that the Patriots' defense is good enough to really just stymie the Jets.
And it could be one of those, you know, bogged down games, but then you get to where Bill talked today about Justin Miller, the kick returner, and you got Coles. That's why preventing big plays in this game, I think, is important for the Patriots, because you want to make the Jets try to go 10, 12 drives to beat you. You don't want to give up that big play to Coles, that big kickoff return, a defensive touchdown, to give the Jets that quick score.
And, you know, the more that Pennington puts it up, the more the Patriots will pick them off.
Right.
They've shown that in the past.
If the Jets run for 75 yards total, I'm going to be stunned. I don't think they're going to get an inch on the ground. So basically, Pennington's going to have to beat him with his arm, and we'll have to see if he can do that.
Well, speaking of run defense, we didn't mention Bruschi. It looks like he's getting closer. There's probably a good chance that he might play this week. And if he does, that really creates a lot of depth in that front seven.
Yeah, if he's on the fence, I think they hold him out until Denver, because I think they know they can shut the Jets' running game down with Sayo.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And they need Bruschi for Denver when they're running those stretch plays and the zone blocking. But if he's healthy, obviously, you know, he's out there. But I think if there's a question mark, they save him one more week, knowing that the Jets aren't going to run the ball on him as long as Vince Wilfork is alive.
Vern is from Newville, Pennsylvania. He's on the phone. How you doing, Vern?
Good, Fred. How are you doing?
Hey,
good.
Bert. Hey, there's a couple, three things I wanted to just talk at a little bit here. First of all, I used to live close to Foxborough, but that's been 20-some years ago. But so this is like coming home.
Oh, you go?
But,
yeah, okay.
But as far as the Brandt thing, one more thing on it. I think Tom was saying that, or I heard you guys talking over the last week, that there might have, it just wasn't about the money. And if you know the old, if they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. But I think likewise, if they tell you it's just not about the money, it's just about the money. I mean, don't you think that if the Patriots had come out and said to Branch, we'll give you what you want, all those other factors would have disappeared and he would have been here?
Well, the only problem...
I think if they had done that a lot earlier, but it came to the point where, a lot like Vinatieri, you know, he just got to the point with the Patriots where, you know, I just want out of here.
Yeah, and I think one of the problems with saying that is that they really weren't negotiating. And I think that was when Branch might have decided, you know what, I don't want to play here anymore, because they weren't going back and forth. See, I would think more it was just about the money if they were countering offers back and forth and they weren't meeting Branch's demands. But to just cut off all contact with a team like that, it was almost like he was saying, I'm not playing for you, so either trade me or... You know.
Yeah, the main thing, Vern, here in this situation, it sounded like, was not so much the money, but the term, how long it was, and when it started. He and his, Branch and his agent wanted this new contract to start in 2006, and the
right.
Patriots were saying, no, it's going to start in 2007.
Well, that's what I mean. If they had given him everything he wanted up front, whatever cryptic factors were in the background, they would have disappeared. It sounds like he's coming out in the end and wants to make it seem, maybe even talking himself into it, that it just wasn't about the money originally.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could have been. You know, it all started. It sounded like he and his agent had been thinking about this for a while before this year.
And I think some bad blood through this process, some bad blood came up between Branch and the organization.
You know, they claim that when they first started, they were kind of forced into signing a 5-year deal when they thought they had a 4-year deal on the table.
Yeah,
obviously,
I think that kind of stuff is just revisionist.
Yeah, and obviously the Patriots, everyone I've talked to behind the scenes says that's just nonsense.
I think he's got to come up even to justify it to himself.
Right.
That it wasn't just about the money.
Right.
That's supposedly who he isn't. So.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, this is going to happen. You know, the Patriots are a high-profile team. And this happens with a lot of teams. And, we as fans, you know, I think Bob Ryan, I don't know if you get to read the Globe Online down in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
Bob Ryan had a great column, whether it was Monday or Tuesday.
I sent in an email about that asking if you think Borges read the Globe.
Oh, okay, is that you?
Yeah.
That was a classic one because, you know, it's so true. If you want to really be a fan, you don't want to know how they make the sausages. Just
exactly,
eat right.
Exactly.
Because once you find out how they make them, they're not going to taste that good anymore. And so much of this stuff is just, oh, God. You know, right now I'm just happy that the Patriots got a first-round pick for them, and let's move on.
Oh, yeah, I am, too. The other thing, the Brady bearing his soul out in public there, there were quite a few folks who saw that he was making excuses. I didn't see it that way. Do you see that he was making excuses?
Well, you know, I took it as a little odd because Brady's not the kind of guy who usually does make excuses. Now, Paul made a good point yesterday. When has he had to have to? Usually he's winning.
The Colts game,
yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah,
you know, when he
there
had
are very few times where he's had to look for excuses. I can remember early in his career, he had a bad game in Buffalo, and he kind of blamed it on the crown of the field, which we all kind of said, oh, that's not going to work out. And,
right.
You know, ever since then, we really haven't heard much. But then again, ever since then, all he's done is win.
I thought a couple other things. One, he could just be being honest.
Yeah.
And two, maybe he could see it as a way to help the whole team just kind of work through this. You know, coming out and saying some stuff that maybe a lot of people are thinking,
yep.
Just to get it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but
there,
maybe Richard Seymour is doing the same thing, and fans
yeah.
are slamming him for what he said.
Well, see, I don't. You know, maybe they just want to get it out there so they can get rid of it and move on.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was funny that day that they announced this thing. It was a Monday, and they had locker room access right after Belichick's press conference. I mean, really, Seymour's locker is right as you walk in. And he was there almost kind of waiting for the media. And he was the only one in there. And it was almost like it was staged. Like, Seymour waited because, you know, he wanted to say that. It's not like, you know, he happened to be there and there was the media. It seemed like it was a staged thing. And, you know,
yeah.
Seymour and Brady are the spokesman for the team. They are the two main captains. And, you know, whether it was the Malloy situation where Seymour was the guy who kind of said, hey, we're going to move on, or this situation, those two guys are the ones talking for their teammates. And so
right.
I think it's natural. But I still think it was a little odd about how Brady kind of admitted that. I never thought he would.
Just one more thing. The game this week, I think either they win by a couple of touchdowns or they lose.
Lose.
I think that either they have put this behind them and they play well, or if they haven't, they're in danger of losing.
So you think if it's a close game, the Jets are going to edge it out?
They might.
Yeah.
They might. I'm going to be a hopeful fan, though, and say that the Patriots will put it behind them and win 27-10.
Well, I hope so, because that Giants stadium, you know, whether it's the Jets fans or the Giants fans sitting in the seats, that can get pretty rowdy when they're winning. You know, when they get a little momentum, they can turn it on there. So, I mean, if the Jets are winning in the fourth quarter, it'll be pretty tough for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, I just wanted to chime in with that stuff. So.
Thanks, Vern.
Thanks.
Vern.
Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Vern from Newville, Pennsylvania, Tom. So, all right. 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Gary, you ready to take a break? Let's do it. We'll be right back.
Rock and roll's most loved and enduring band. Traveling the world on their biggest tour ever. And now they return to North America for an encore performance. Radio Shack presents The Rolling Stones. September 20th, on stage at Gillette Stadium.
Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Richard Seymour.
This autograph print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 of qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Pepsi Smash!
Pepsi Smash gets you closer to your favorite artists every day. Together with Yahoo Music, Pepsi Smash is online in a big way at PepsiSmash.com. It's unexpected, it's personal, and it's all made possible by Pepsi.
Hey, what's up? It's Ben from Breaking Benjamin. Check out our latest single, The Diary of Jane. That was The Diary of Jane from our latest record, Phobia. To find other hot performances and go behind the scenes with your favorite artists, log on to PepsiSmash.com. It's what's happening in music.
Pepsi Smash. It's music in a way you won't find anywhere else. Get behind the cameras. See exclusive performances and features like A Day in the Life, interviews, headlines, and contests. Log on to be a part of the Pepsi Smash and Yahoo Music experience. PepsiSmash.com. It's what's happening in music.
Pepsi Smash.
All right, back here in Foxborough, if the Patriots can make it in New York, they can make it anywhere. So,
how about we wait for Cincinnati?
Hey,
for
I went to a party Saturday night. These people that, did I tell you about this?
Told me.
Oh. They had this Frank Sinatra impersonator who, you closed your eyes, it was him. It was unbelievable. I walked in the house, I thought they were playing a CD. And it was him. This guy's unbelievable. Michael Boutra, I think his name is. He's got a website. I think it's called simplysinatra.com. You should get him for one of the parties.
Who's his agent? Ben Dotha?
Unbelievable. So, that was cool. Anyway. All right. Back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number 508-543-7482. Anything else? What was going on in the locker room? A lot of guys available.
Well, haven't had it yet.
Oh, that's right. It's late this day.
Yeah.
They're doing it at
That's why Felger's coming down to do the show here, because the locker room is at 1:30.
1:30 now.
Give me a
on
break.
On Fridays. Why'd they do that? Why'd they change that on Fridays?
I have no idea why they do things. I don't have a clue.
Mm. Okay. We'll see what happens. Hey, Josh in Jacksonville. Josh in Jacksonville writes in, I was reading MSN Sports and Elliot Kalib. You know him?
Right? I've heard of him, yes.
Wrote that Gillette Stadium was the second best overall stadium in the NFL. Now, where's Paul when I need him? What do you guys think? Is it worthy of number two? How would you list them?
No way. I don't even think you would you, Fred? I mean, Denver is absolutely, I thought, beautiful, their new stadium.
Well, the look of it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but there's other, you know, we didn't go through the clubs and the suites and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. All I know about is where I am. The press box here sucks. It's in the corner of the end zone, and it shouldn't be.
Denver's no better, is it? Yeah.
That's a little bit better.
It's down by the 10-yard line.
I think the press box should be near the 20 or 30-yard line.
Well, it should be in the 50, but nowadays they're selling those to the rich
people. That's why I didn't say 50.
Yeah.
Like, at least give us we're working. We're trying to watch the game.
You can't look at it from the press perspective because the fans don't care.
No, I know.
They don't care.
I said from my perspective.
Right, but that's not how you judge a stadium. They don't care that the food isn't good or that you got a bet. You know, but I think what I like about the Patriots, the club is something that it's the best club in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know about that stuff. So.
You know, the suites are bigger than any other NFL, you know, so that's starters.
I thought Denver was the nicest stadium I've been to.
Okay. Have you been to Tampa Bay?
No.
See, I like Tampa Bay, too, because I like that whole ship in the end zone thing. A lot of people think, oh, who cares? But I like that, you know.
I don't know what they're fixing to do down there in Dallas, but that'll probably be number one when he gets done.
Oh, I guarantee you that the Cowboys stadium.
They'll probably make it their own city. It'll be like a little city.
Yeah, and Cowboys sent a busload of people
here, up here, right?
To look over our stadium. So, you know,
what was
advantage
number one?
That you have of being the latest built is you get to learn from everyone else's mistakes and successes.
What was number one?
I don't know.
If the emailer is still listening, why don't you? I'd like to know who they had as number one stadium.
Yeah, Josh, send us in. I mean, Cardinals Stadium. I don't know. They just built that.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's
new.
Pretty nice. Although,
I mean, because the funny thing is, like, we're in Miami right now. Right. That remember when that was a new stadium?
Right.
That is a piece of garbage.
Right.
I heard that was my exact wording when I was there. This is a piece of garbage. And the thing is, it's not really that old.
No.
When you compare it to some of the other stadiums around the league, and you think that used to be like a new state of the art stadium. Now it's just a piece of junk.
Well, I remember when, you know, they built Three Rivers and Three Rivers Stadium and the one in Cincinnati. You know, those are, now we call them cookie cutter ballparks. But at the time, they were, you know, the nicer ballparks around.
Right.
But now they are pieces of crap. When they built the Astrodome, you know, they dubbed it as the eighth wonder of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of crap now. You know, so it's all, they just keep getting better. But I think the Patriots stadium is pretty cool. I like the fact that they kept the seats, you know, except for the club, they kept the seats the same amount of seats as in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you still, it's still manageable that way. I like the sight lines.
I mean,
the sight lines are excellent for the fans.
Right, but now there's questions about the volume and the noise. Like fans say, well, it's not necessarily them; it's the way the stadium was built. Now, if they're right, I would have to downgrade that. Now, me and you don't think that they are, but I'm saying if it was true that that's the reason why they're not loud, then I would have to downgrade the stadium.
Well, I mean, Foxborough was terrible too. You know, so
that was a bowl.
That was a bowl. It was even less than a bowl. It was a concrete.
Right. So you should have been that place should have been rocking.
Well, yeah, but it was still open. You know, had an open end on one side. You know, a small section of seating in the end zone. So Denver, if you go to the end zone, it's like they're on top of the end zone. The seats there. I mean, they almost go straight up. So these people are looking down into the field. And the same thing with Kansas City. Kansas City is one complete bowl. It's all enclosed. And it almost like the top kind of closes in a little bit. It has points at each corner. And, you know, that really keeps in the sound as far as an outdoor stadium goes. You know, but, you know, a stadium, for example, Ford Field in Detroit, indoor stadium, beautiful stadium. You know, they got the concourses, indoor concourses with the brick street and the gas lamps. And, you know, it's really kind of cool.
I heard Seattle has a nice stadium. I've never been
there. Yeah, I haven't been there, but it looks nice on TV.
Yeah.
You know, with the skyline in the background and all that, that's nice. Cincinnati's ballpark is good.
Is it?
You know, it's a nice ballpark. You know, so there's a lot of...
I'd like to know like the top five or so to see what they said.
But I think you got to break it into categories, you know, because
you can't count the Chiefs Stadium and our stadium together.
I mean, the Chiefs Stadium, other than the fans and the way the seats are, that's a piece of crap too.
And if Buffalo isn't listed last, I'd like to know who is, please.
Yeah,
because that is the worst.
You know what used to be the worst for a while was Veterans Stadium.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, my God, that place was awful. From the press box right down to the field.
Right down to the
jail.
I pulled
a hamstring just walking on their artificial turf before the game. I mean, the seams would, like, come up like frost heaves.
I've actually been to Veterans Stadium. It's a nightmare.
Oh, that place is awful. All right, Steve writes in. He says, "Dear Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom, a quick note from London, England. I just wanted to say that I follow the summer training camp and branch situation from afar, and I can honestly say that I think we are going to the Super Bowl again this year. Our defense and our running game is going to take us to Miami." And I just went up too far. Oh, "and I'm going to get on a plane to see us there. I think we got out of the branch situation well in the end. I know people have talked about slapping the franchise tag on him for 2007 and all that, but the bottom line is that the situation went too far, and when that happens, both parties have to go their separate ways. I also think that Doug Gabriel might turn out to be our number one receiver by the end of the year, with Jackson the number two and Caldwell dropping down to compete for our number three or four receiver spot with Brown. Now, that would be great if that happened.
Yeah.
The bottom line is we're going to Miami. Bring a saboteur in a striped jacket getting in the way. Oh, barring a saboteur in a striped, you mean a ref. Okay. Book those tickets now since we are 5 hours ahead of you guys here in London. I should be already enjoying my fourth or fifth beer by the time you read this email. So please say in unison, cheers."
Right. Cheers.
Cheers. Okay.
Well, he's pretty confident.
Yeah.
I have to see much more than I did last week before I'm putting the Patriots on the plane to Miami. I think you'll even admit that I'm not going to go by that Bills game and say, well, you know, get the tickets ready.
Well,
I need to see some improvement.
I'm making leaps of faith that things will get better and that I know, you know.
No, but I like to see it.
No,
I want to see them, even if I don't care if they beat the Jets 20-17, Fred. See, the score is meaningless to me. I just want to see improvement. You know what I mean? I want to see Brady being protected a little bit better. I want to see some deep balls down the field where the cornerbacks make plays. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see them improve. I don't mind if in today's NFL, you're not going to beat teams by 35, 40 points every week. If you get tough wins, that's great. But I'd like to see them overall play better this week than they did last week.
Let's hope. Jared in URI, "Can we expect a dominating performance by the Patriots' offensive line this week? I know the Bills always play the Pats tough, especially their quick defensive line, so I don't foresee a repeat. But the talent is definitely in place on this offensive line, and I want to see them start smashing guys. I'm predicting a Lawrence Maroney home run for 40 or 50 yards.
See, I think it's going to be the exact opposite. I think that the Jets are going to provide a bigger test in the running game, where the Bills provided more quickness on the pass rush. I think the Jets, with their defensive line, their linebackers, it's going to be a bigger test when they're trying to run the football. So if they can't run like they did against the Bills, are there going to be guys open? Will Brady be able to find some receivers? That's what I think is going to be the interesting matchup in this game. So, you know, I don't think they'll, you know, Maroney can hit a home. Listen, every time that guy touches the ball, he can hit a home run. I don't care if they're playing the Ravens, the 85 Bears. You give that guy the football, there can be three guys in front of him. He'll juke out two, run over the other one, and he's gone. So any time he touches the football, there's a chance for a big play, and that's why I believe he needs to become a bigger part of the offense. Three carries at halftime is not good enough for me. He had 55 yards on three carries. I want to see 10 carries at halftime.
Yep. Randy is from Lake Worth, Florida, and he's basically sent me the Magna Carta, so I'm not going to read it. So, but, you know, you might have had a great email, Randy. I can't read an email that's that long.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's unbelievable. So, Randy, if you want to, like, you know, edit down your email to a few cogent bullet points, I'll read it again. But, you know, I'll save this one for when I have a lot of time to kill. But we do thank you for emailing, though. But I just don't – I can't read something that long. People are
you got to try to make your emails, like, short and to the point. Because the one day I hosted, you get those emails that are, like, you just keep scrolling down.
We're on the radio.
We're reading them live. They got to be, you know,
yeah, people,
make your point.
People get tuned off. So cut it down. Make it some – make your points, and we'll get back to it. I'll remember that you're from Florida, Randy. So I promise if you send us another email, we'll read it. If it's short. Let's see. Mike writes in, I was wondering why it seems everyone is so down on Jackson. Hamstrings are a tough injury to get over, especially for a wide receiver. I realize we all had these high hopes for Jackson right out of the gate, but wouldn't we rather wait for him to be healthy? We lost Watson his rookie season, and I didn't hear this much disappointment or regret for taking him. I see things saying Jackson is a bust already. That is crazy. Also, there is some character issues with Jackson being a little immature at the gala, but things could be worse. I mean, look at the real trouble that Santonio Holmes has gotten himself into already. Also, Holmes is not making up for his off-the-field shortcomings by playing well. He only had one catch for 6 yards. Frustrations over not seeing his
potential. Yeah, but he's just a rookie, too. You know, you want to give Jackson time, but we're making fun of Holmes for one game? Come on now.
Frustrations over not seeing his potential has taken over and maybe everyone and making everyone crazy. Let's let him actually play before we start calling him a bust. I still see him coming in and moving up to number two quickly once he gets on the field. Now,
all right, so who called him a bust? This is where the fans hear what they want. First of all, we never called him a bust. Andy might have. Second of all, I just got done saying how he looked like he could be the next Terrell Owens physically. Third of all, me and you have both expressed our quote-unquote opinion that this could be something more, and the fans don't seem to be grasping that fact, so we're just going to stop talking about it, and we're just saying he's a bust because they're not reading between the lines here, so move on.
Okay. Two people have written in to tell us that on that list, the Buccaneer Stadium, Raymond James Stadium, was
number one.
So,
and I've never been there, so.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, you know, I like it. I love the whole, you know, like I said, the ship in the end zone. Plus, I like what they do when, you know, it's third down, they're on defense, they raise the pirate flag and they shoot the gun. It's a nice tradition. I buy into that stuff. I'm not like Paul where, you know, I'm just there to see the game and, you know, I don't want any of that fan stuff because I think that's part of it. I mean, that's getting the fans involved is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
The Chiefs have all those chants that they do, like if you go to the game, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know how many they have, but they all know them by heart.
Well, they have that. Plus, you know, they have the Hail to the Redskins song that they sing after every touchdown. My wife's like, oh, that could get annoying. I'm like, nah, that's all. They love it.
Right.
You know, the whole stadium is singing in unison. Mm-hmm. That's special. I think that's cool.
Well, we got one, and this is funny that you should say that, because we got the one ass PFW that had a problem with the touchdown song, and they said, well, after Troy Brown scored, I looked around, and no one knew what to do. Are you out of your mind?
Right.
You don't know you don't know what to do when somebody scores, stop that nonsense.
You
scream and yell.
First
you high-five
of all, you
the guy
need
next
a song to
you.
To tell you what to do.
You spill beer all over yourself. You yell till you can't.
You high-five the person next to you.
You hug people you don't know. That's what you do when somebody scores. If you really need us to tell you that or a song to tell you that, you probably shouldn't be coming to the game in the first place. The
sheriff has spoken. Okay, yeah, and somebody, Josh, has also sent, the person who originally sent us about the stadium, he's got the top five according to this list. Number one is Raymond James, two is Gillette Stadium, three is Arrowhead Stadium. Now, I gotta know why.
Yeah, the list, because if you saw that stadium, it looks like it's about to fall down.
As far
as
the structure itself, there's no way Arrowhead could be in the
top 10. They're basing that on fan noise.
Yeah,
they're trying,
Gillette shouldn't.
No, I mean Arrowhead being up there. It must have to do with that.
I'd like to know what the criteria was, Josh.
What were the other two?
Anyway, he's got Arrowhead 3, Bank of America in Charlotte 4, which is a nice stadium,
too.
Yeah,
I heard that was
very
nice.
Clean. You know, when I say clean, I don't mean litter. I mean the lines are nice. It's a, you know, nice stadium. Lambeau Field.
I was going to say, where's Lambeau? So much for tradition. Where's Lambeau Field?
Lambeau was 5, and, you know, they recently went over a renovation. And Andy was like, oh, it's great. I didn't think it was that good. You know, I wasn't that excited about the renovation that they did.
I just want to go there, so I don't
care.
The mall was nice.
The mall was nice. I didn't get to see that. But and the worst five, they also have five. Number one, worst field was FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Now, I can see why they might be saying that. You know, that's where the Redskins play, obviously. That's not that old a stadium. I think they built it in 94 or 5. Man, it really already looks run down.
I think it was later than that.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, I think it was later than that. But it's run. It looks run down already from the outside. You know, like there's
late 90s.
Signs are falling off. There's rust. You know, it's they're not keeping it up very well.
That's interesting.
Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, number 2. Now, I'd like to know why. You know, I don't like the Bengals, but it's a pretty good stadium, I thought. It looked nice. Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in Minneapolis. Well, that's going down.
Yeah,
so.
And then now here we go back to the crowd noise, because that's supposed to be one of the top two or three loudest places.
It is very loud.
And
if you get two people having a conversation in that place, it's loud. Everything echoes a million ways.
I don't understand why the Chiefs are that high, and then they're way down. It doesn't make any sense.
But I'd love to know the criteria. Anyway,
I haven't heard the Bills yet.
4 is Dolphins.
Which should be there.
Yeah, and 5 is the Meadowlands. So,
well, this person has never gone to Orchard Park.
Well, I don't think it's this person's list per se. I think he's reading it off somebody else's, but it would be.
No, I mean the person
who did the list did
not go to Orchard Park because the Buffalo Bills Stadium is the worst.
It's awful.
It's the worst.
It's awful. It's funny because when Foxborough Stadium was built in 1970, it was the exact same design as Rich Stadium, Buffalo Stadium, and. Over time, they've added to the Buffalo Stadium. They never did at Foxborough. But the basic design is the exact same as what we had here. It's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically they dug a hole in the ground and filled it in with cement.
Right.
That's all they did.
It's the big cement.
That's all they did.
Circle.
Let's see. Doug writes in, I just got home, and I have no idea what you've talked about. So if this has been discussed, just throw me to the curb. With the recent departure of Branch and Brady admitting it has affected his focus, have you seen signs of production from the wideouts and Brady getting back to his old self? Thanks for your time, Doug from Blackstone. P.S. Tom, did I hear you use the wife reference the other day? If so, congrats.
Oh, yeah, she's my fiance, but I just said wife.
They might as well be
married. Yeah, we might as well be married. It just, we haven't spent $20,000 yet, so we're not allowed to be married. But after we do that and throw that stupid party they call a wedding, I guess we'll be married.
There you go.
See, it's nice to... I've always been a Doug Gabriel fan. I liked him when he was at Central Florida. It's just this whole trade thing is bothering me. Like, why did they get rid of him? I'm still going with my thing that the Raiders don't know what they're doing. So I'm pretty sure about that. So I like his prospects. If there's some other things going on, you know, that obviously hinders what he can do on the field, but physically looks great. So, you know, there's a lot of ifs here, and we don't know really how to answer them because we haven't seen these guys in action yet. In a Patriots uniform. Like, if we saw Jackson in the preseason and he was having trouble getting off the jam, we could tell you that. But we haven't seen it.
We don't know.
You know, and Gabriel, I've seen play and I like him, but for some reason he went from starter to let's trade him for a second day draft pick. It's mind boggling. I don't know what to say about that.
Let's see. Gabe writes in, if Jackson or Gabriel started, which one do you believe will have the greater impact on the game? I would say Gabriel.
Right now,
because
Gabriel.
Because he's, you know, had a little bit more experience in the league.
Right now, Gabriel. And we talked about on the roster report, Fred, the whole trust thing with Tom. Like, Tom Brady's got to trust you. He's got to trust that he throws the ball on timed routes. And he knows that Deion Branch and Troy Brown, when Troy Brown makes a cut, he knows it's the right cut. He's got to get that trust with Gabriel and Jackson. And I heard he's been working very closely with Gabriel. So I would expect him to have more of the impact right now, but down the road, as long as Jackson can put everything behind him and get on the field, I think it'll be him.
All right, so Josh now has given us the full list with all the descriptors with each stadium. And I think basically the writer is kind of doing the overall thing. He's not looking at any one thing. You know, it's just the atmosphere.
Stupid.
You know, so Raymond James, he's got it, you know, because of the Buccaneer Cove, which is where they call that thing. And, you know,
where's Buffalo? Where's it ranked?
I don't know. Well, it's just the ones, the top five and the bottom
five.
Oh,
all right.
And then, you know, the fact that Gillette went from worst to first and, you know, the ATMs and this, and Ozzy Osbourne and all that, he loves that. Arrowhead, the Sea of Red when they play at home, you know, it's the fans and the tradition that they have. So really it's less to do with the stadium in Kansas
or
City.
Or the atmosphere.
Right. The Bank of America in Charlotte opened in 96. You know, just the fact that everything is in the Panthers' colors and barbecue aromas. So it's kind of a weird list.
Yeah.
You know, it's less to do with the structure and more the atmosphere.
Well, if you're ever going to go to a road game, go to Kansas City, because you never find a better place to watch a football game than there. I mean, that's obviously it ain't going to be good for you because you'll be a Patriot fan, but just the experience.
Yeah. About the Redskins field, he says, you know, the place is a large. It opened in 97, by the way, I think. But the place is the largest seating capacity in the league with room for 91,704.
That's course, no good.
It'll take you hours to get out of the place. I'm sorry, but the ride from downtown D.C. just takes too long. The place is too big, too corporate. There are fewer hogs and more pigs in the stands.
And you know what the problem with that is, Fred? Like, I had someone ask me once, why is college stadiums, you know, so much? It's because of the noise. You get 91,000 people, the noise goes away. The big house in Michigan, their crowd is useless. There's 100,000+. They're so far away, they're yelling, and nobody can hear you.
Right.
So in the NFL, it's more of the 60,000-70,000 people, you know, to try to keep the stadium somewhat small for the noise.
Plus, you don't want to have too many seats, or you'll be blacked out every week because you can't sell the place out.
So the figure Snyder made a stupid decision like that. That doesn't surprise me.
Paul Brown stating the fans were so vulgar there, and there were such displays of drunkenness that the team, to its credit, has instituted a jerk line to call out idiots who cross the line. Fans can use their cell phones to rat out their neighbors. Will it help? I'm skeptical. I realize that Cincinnati fans aren't the only ones who exhibit boorish behavior. Philly fans practically wrote the book on it. Besides those issues, however, there are things I dislike about Paul Brown Stadium. I found it difficult to navigate in a car to a suitable lot and to find the entrance to the stadium. Fans screaming about disrespect, who they gonna beat them Bengals, is hardly worthy of great NFL chants. Plus, didn't they steal that from the Saints?
Yeah.
That was a Saints thing.
Yeah. And the thing about the Bengals fans, though, you know why I think they're probably bad fans is because they never win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So basically going to a game for them is drinking a case of beer, eating 7 hamburgers, and going in and watching your team getting killed. Now, obviously, this has changed in the last couple of years, but for over a decade, they never had a chance to beat anybody. So what are you going to do? Go to the game and say, all right, man, we're taking out the Steelers today. I mean, you know you're going to get plastered, so you get plastered too. So that's probably why they're bad fans, because they don't know how to win.
About the Dolphins stadium, he says, it's too far from Miami. It rains too often. The fans are from all over the country.
That's
true. You see way too many Pats jerseys, Jets jerseys,
yep.
Colts jerseys. I can't remember a time when the noise was deafening like at Arrowhead, RFK, or Mile High.
That's when we were there and the Patriots scored, I turned to Paul and said, are we at home?
I know, yeah. And Meadowlands, finally, he says, one day soon the Jets will share the cost of a new stadium with the Giants. For now, they rent. It shows. It's still the Giants stadium. The J-E-T-S chant gets old quickly, especially when the team doesn't contend. So
well, they can't help that.
So, so the list, yeah, the list was just a general.
That's a bad list.
Well, you know,
I think. My point. I'm not saying it's a bad list based on how he his criteria. I don't think he made a specific criteria and stuck to it.
Yeah.
I would have wished that he had done that because it's kind of all over the board. He's got old
right.
stadiums at.
You
two
can't
old.
Blame Miami for raining. I mean, you know. I guess you could say that they should have built a dome, but you know, other than that, it's not much they can do about that. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Next one is from Mike again. He's talking, what was he saying before? Anyway, he says, sorry, I should have made my point better. I was not saying you guys were calling Jackson a bust. In fact, Tom actually was being the voice of reason for once. Wow. Mm. It was frustration from fan websites that made me write in about Jackson. Also, the Holmes comment was to show that rookies very rarely come in and contribute huge numbers, but at least the guy we have is not having off-the-field issues like Holmes. I just think that fans are expecting 100 catches and 1,200 yards from Jackson because he was apparently the number one wide receiver in the draft and should have been a first-rounder. I expected a lot less, even if he was healthy the entire time.
I agree. I thought that, and I mentioned this in a show a while back, that I hope the media doesn't get the fans into a frenzy about this guy and put unrealistic expectations on him. Because after rookie minicamp, people had him in the Hall of Fame. And rookie receivers, they're just few and far between that come in and catch 80, 90 balls.
Well, you know, and the thing is, the inside word from the team, you know, because remember, Givens was gone. So it wasn't a question of who was going to be number one, because everyone assumed
right,
Branch
is here.
It was who was going to be number two. Was it going to be Caldwell or Jackson? And everyone we talked to said, oh, Jackson's going to be the guy. You watch.
Right.
You know, by week three, he'll be your number two. You know, so now, you know, so now we're thinking maybe he has to be number one.
Right.
It's really unrealistic.
And I mentioned this on the roster report, Fred. A few months ago, we were wondering if Troy Brown would come back for his final season.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about an absolute nightmare if he gets injured. Can you imagine if Troy Brown goes out for like 8 to 10 games?
I was hoping that Troy was in the locker room on Monday because I was going to ask him, hey, Troy, now that you're the number one receiver, you're going to hold out? You know?
And lo and behold, here comes Fred.
That's right. Phil from Austin, tell Tom I got a kick out of one of his comments a couple days ago. After wondering why so many fans at Gillette were still in line to get into the stadium 5 minutes before the game, Tom said, hey, just shotgun a couple of beers and get inside. That made me laugh out loud. It should be the new rallying cry for fans attending the game.
No, but I'm serious, though. They're out there. They're drinking at a leisurely pace. Listen, either bring a funnel and funnel 10 to 12 beers or shotgun 6 or 7 of them and get inside and start, you know, start
right.
chanting and pay $12 for a beer in here.
No, I don't know. Maybe because they pay $35 for parking, they have to get the most out of the lot as well.
But what I would do if I did that was this, Fred. I would have a couple of beers. I would eat some food. Then right before we came in, I'd funnel like 6 or 7 beers. That way I'd get a nice buzz going. Then I'd get a couple here. That's
right.
How you do it.
Okay. He also asked a question, does Nick Cager have any chance of taking Matt Light's job? If he doesn't get on the field, he doesn't.
No, that's the thing about Cager is we're still not sure what his shoulder situation is. We know he's injured, obviously, and O'Callaghan will be starting his second game this week, most likely. And, you know, I don't know. You got to remember, they gave Cager a lot of help when he was in there last year. It wasn't like he was just taking Dwight Freeney one-on-one and dominating.
Right.
Now, last week, they decided to let Light go one-on-one with a Schobel, and it backfired, you know, badly. So I would expect you could see Daniel Graham back into his old helping out Matt Light role.
I mean, and one of the things, reason I was high on Cager this year was not necessarily because I think he's going to take Matt Light's job, but I thought that the experience he got being thrown into the fire at left tackle will only help him on the right side. And I assumed or hoped that he would be the starting right tackle. But this O'Callaghan guy seems pretty good.
Right. Physically, like if you were just talking on a physically and like potential level, O'Callaghan is the best offensive lineman on the team, meaning that he has physical skills that the other guys simply don't have. And if he can, you know, obviously it's still early. He only played one game. But if he can put all that together and keep focus, which was a problem in college, he could be a dominator. you know, and he might end up moving over to the left side at some point.
Yep.
So I'm really encouraged how he's come on, because I know when Andy talked to his coach, they said he's got to try to stay focused and everything, and it seems like he's done that. He's won a starting job.
No, yeah.
And I think he'll just continue to get better as the season moves forward.
No, it's a good example of a guy who had a rap coming out of college, which is he got by on natural ability, didn't work as hard as he probably should have, but you get in the right program and the guy gets motivated, or all of a sudden he realizes that I could lose my job, I'm not on my full boat ride anymore, and motivates himself. You know, there's another guy, Brandon Mitchell was a guy that the Patriots drafted, I don't know, back in 98, I think, and he was out of Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And he was a guy who had a great junior year at Texas A&M, senior year just kind of coasted. And now he came out with the same rap, but for him it was true.
Right.
He never got it back.
You get it both ways. Michigan actually had two of them this year, Gabe Watson and Pierre Woods. Now, Pierre Woods didn't even get drafted, and here he is. He made the team. I'm not sure how Gabe Watson's doing, but he fell in the draft because of that. So you kind of you take a chance on these guys, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I think you sit down, you talk to them, the coaches do, and they get a good feel for them, and some guys they feel to turn it around.
And you know, that's one of the things that makes scouting in the pros so hard and such a crapshoot is, you know, so you get a guy like O'Callaghan who just is so much better that he doesn't have to try hard.
Right.
And so now you got to figure out, okay, what is it really? Is it something that he can overcome? You can't blame the guy for being that much better.
Right.
What's he supposed to do after he pancakes the guy? Shoot him in the head? You know, what else can he do? You know, so that's why scouting, because you're not always going against the best competition in college. You know, if you're that good a lineman, you're probably going to be going against guys that are really inferior. Mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while you come up against a team with a guy who can match up with you on the side of the ball, but most of the time you're going to be the best guy out in the field.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think with the Patriots, with Castle, and a couple other guys who didn't play much in college are now starting to make an impact in the pros. And I'm
You got Givens, for example.
Well, yeah, Givens. But,
yeah.
I mean, guys that didn't play much, like, at the college level, like, that were on really good teams.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's going to start where scouts look at, like, Florida State and say, this guy was the number one recruit coming in. He didn't get on the field for whatever reasons, but at one point, he was the best player, you know, in the country.
Right.
So should we take a chance on him and see if we can get that out of him? Because you had Castle, who, you know, didn't play at all, and this guy, he's looking phenomenal.
Right. And then you get a guy like Cedric Cobbs, who was this great back in Arkansas, probably the highest recruited high school kid in the country when he came out of high school.
One of the best running backs in the SEC during my time.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the field. He was that good. But I've always heard, even since his college days, is he lacks that one thing. And when people wonder why Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith and all these guys are the greatest, it's because they have that thing. They have the heart,
right,
the desire.
They love football.
And Cedric Cobbs, as physically talented as he may be, if you don't have that extra thing pushing you, you just end up being an NFL football player.
Yep. Doug from France says, you keep mentioning a charity dinner Jackson went to where he acted poorly. What was it, and how did he act poorly?
Well, it's up to you if you want me to go through the whole thing.
Well, no, I mean, it's just the Patriots annual charitable dinner. We just thought it was strange how he came out and just kind of drew attention to himself, yelling and kind of talking loudly, and it seemed like a lot of his teammates didn't like it either.
No, even the people he was interacting with were uncomfortable. It was a very uncomfortable situation for everybody, and he got quite a few stares from the veterans that were there. And since that night, he hasn't said a word.
Right.
So to think that that was just a nothing thing that we can just blow off, that's not the case, because apparently he was talked to by somebody in that organization, whether it be a player or Belichick himself.
Yeah.
So it's not something to just blow off, because it was addressed.
It was sort of like, you know, you have a birthday party and you go out to a public place and there's that 1 6-year-old who's just misbehaving.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way how he was
right.
acting. You know, it's not like he did anything that's going to make the newspaper, like, offended a woman or
no.
anything like that.
It was an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And John in Palm Bay is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, good. I was just wondering, I emailed you this question while I was at lunch and I'm back to work. Do you know what Tom Brady stands on an all-time winning list as a quarterback?
You mean in the league or in the Patriots?
For just the Patriots.
You know, I'd have to look that up. We can look that up, and we can tell you in about, 20 minutes or so.
Okay, and then, just for a fun thing, I was wondering if you guys might be able to talk about some of the all-time worst Patriots. I know they came out like about 4 or 5 years ago with the best team.
Yeah.
But me and my friends came up a list a long time ago.
Hartley Dykes. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to have a certain barrier because there's been a lot of guys that come into camp.
Well, we said at least 1 year with the Patriots.
Yeah, at least 1 year and was supposed to be good.
Hartley Dykes.
Yeah, Hartley
Dykes.
Yeah,
like guys like Eugene Chang.
Yeah, Eugene Chung is one. Yep. Yeah, Hartley Dykes.
I mean,
yep.
I guess he was okay, but someone I never liked.
I thought that would be something funny
Pete
you might
Sims,
be doing.
Or Ken Sims, whatever his name
is. The magazine.
You know, Sims was the number one pick.
Kenny Sims. Guy I never liked was Katzenmoyer. Didn't like him at all.
There was a cornerback, too, that was supposed to be really good and never panned out for us.
Chris Canty. Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Canty.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you could. Every team can, but you can certainly make a nice list out of that out of the Patriots.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe some week in the magazine you could run that, because I think it was some Patriot fans might like to see.
Well, you know, as far as passing leaders, Brady is, at this point, third on the list behind Grogan and Bledsoe. As far, you know.
I think that's where he's going to stand and win, too, third behind
probably,
Grogan and Bledsoe.
Probably, but we'd have to look at the media guy doesn't
Grogan
have
through
wins.
Some lean years there. I don't know.
Yeah.
As far as percentage goes, Brady has been has won ever since he came in the league. So I would guess he's higher than Grogan. I'm not sure about
Bledsoe. Percentage, no doubt.
I don't know. Grogan was with Patriots for a long time.
I know, but
they lost
a lot, too, though, when he was
here.
Yeah, what I'm
that's
saying.
True.
Yeah, they really don't, like, look at the quarterback and say, okay, like a pitcher,
right?
You know, here's your win-loss record.
Yeah.
I know,
it might not be official stat. I just wondered maybe something
no,
you can look
it definitely
for.
Can be look. I'd have to
we know
add it up.
10-1 in the playoffs, and that's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, but it's a good question. We'll find that out. Obviously, he's the best quarterback this team has ever had.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yep. All right. Well, John, thank you for calling.
All right. Have a good day.
Take care.
John in Palm Bay, down in Florida, where the weather's always nice.
Where it's raining all the time, apparently,
yeah.
According to the guy who made the stadium rankings.
All right. Gary, where are you? Is Gary back there? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We live these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good...
It is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Going to be sacked, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free three championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
This is PFW in progress.
They tell you all the time what to do, what to think, what to feel. Do you want to be like a chief, like all those other people, man?
Bah, bah.
You want to work 8-10 hours? You own nothing? You got nothing? You know I eat octopus 3 times a day? How'd you like that? I'm a political prisoner, and I want my human right. Now, just like the president, give me Carter's sense.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if it fits.
Paul Perillo.
You're 50, you got a bag for a belly. They got hair on them. You got a liver. They got spots on it, and you're a junkie. Sleeps all day with them black chains on. Wakes up with a quaalude.
And Andy.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Andy Hart.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
Some guy named Tom.
Let's get this straight. All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one. You understand?
PFW in progress.
You want to play rough? Okay.
No.
Say hello to my little friend.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Whenever you do a poll of football players, like their favorite movie, Scarface is always on the top of the list.
Well, it's a great movie.
You know?
I just think it's funny when they put it on, like, regular TV. Like, why is that movie even on a regular channel?
Right.
They say the F word probably more times in that movie than any movie that's ever been made. They have to cut out half the movie.
No, Goodfellas.
Yeah, but why bother? Too. You know,
they
why
do the same thing. They put that on TV.
Whenever we go on a road trip, Mark Capello from WBCN pops a movie into the VCR in the bus because we have to sit there for so long. And last week he had, or last game that we went to, was like Bad Boys with Sean Penn.
I'd never seen it.
And it was like the most depressing movie you'll ever see. People say, oh, great, this is a real uplifting movie. All right, getting back to the emails at webradio@patriots.com, Zeus, he calls himself, from Rancho Mirage, California. Says, I know you're tired of the Deion chatter, but these are my thoughts. Patriots fans need to understand that other teams will pay a Super Bowl premium for our players. Those are salaries that reflect the Patriots' talent plus the magical winning experience that goes with it. They can afford to do that, but we can't match it because we would never have enough money left over to maintain the rest of our player financial obligations. Each team can only afford so many elite, highly paid players with the salary cap. If you miscalculate a player's value, it has a huge ripple effect on the rest of the team's personnel. It seems to me that Brady and Seymour might not want to say that much on their disappointment since they are profoundly funneling from the overall financial pie, thus preventing us from re-signing other players. Having said that, we need Brady and Seymour to
win under the cap.
I know. We need Brady and Seymour to win, but I don't think we singularly need Deion to do so. In my opinion, the Patriots are running their business very well, not being too sentimental about personnel and buying low and selling high with their players. Please, as far as touchdown music is considered, try Wild Side by Motley Crue or It's Going Down by the Executioners. I don't know either one of those songs.
You know Wild Side.
How does that go?
Wild Side. You know it.
I don't know. How does it go?
Now Gary's going to have that on tape. See, shut up, Fred.
I'm trying to get him to do it.
Let's get back to the email. While I agree with the email itself, I'm just going to play devil's advocate. At some point, if you only sign Brady and Seymour and you're losing more than you bring in through free agency, it's going to have an effect. You can't keep bringing in nobodies like Monty Beisel and keep losing major pieces of the puzzle. Now, maybe the rookies step up. Maybe a couple of the guys they picked up this year, you know, play better than the guys they got last year. But at some point, if it continues to be that way, you will see an effect. That's only going to be natural.
Right. Phil from Austin again. Something tells me that Tom's recipe for a pregame buzz won't be appearing in the Patriots yearbook anytime soon. I also don't think the pro shop will be carrying any flying Elvis funnels anytime soon either.
Oh, they just go down to the hardware store, get a funnel and a piece of tubing, tape it up.
Having said that, I was surprised to see that they sell Patriots flasks.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Why not? I bet you if you sold a Patriots funnel, you'd clean up. People would buy those hand over fist.
Oh, sure. Josh in Jacksonville again. I was listening to you talk about how Kazier might got experience at left tackle and that he could probably dominate on the right side. Well, did I ever say he would dominate there? I don't know. Did I?
I don't know.
Anyway, he says, is left tackle a more important position than right tackle? Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
It is, because for a righty quarterback, Josh, the left side is his blind side.
Right. The only time that would be different is someone like Steve Young.
Yeah, and usually a team's best pass rusher comes from the defense's right side, which would be that left tackle. The exception is like Strahan. He lines up on the right side. But most of the, like Freeney, all the best, you know, for a while when Jason Taylor was not being moved around like he is now, when he lined up at one position, he always lined up at right end. And that's usually where the best pass rusher comes. So the left tackle's job is to stop him and protect that quarterback's blind side.
You're never going to see Orlando Pace, Jonathan Ogden, or Walter Jones on the right side. They're always going to be left tackle.
Yeah, now like a quarterback like Brunell, where he's a lefty, the right tackle.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Now, I don't think, like, for example, if the Colts were playing Brunell, would Freeney move over to the right, or does he stay in his left side?
Before.
He does.
He's moved around before. Okay. They try to, even sometimes when they play a right-handed quarterback, they'll try to sneak him around and try to hide him. But, you know, like you said, primarily he lines up in the same spot.
Brian in Miami says, so glad to hear you guys every day now that the season has begun. It'd be nice to hear from the whole gang every day, but not only because there are more opinions, but more importantly because the constant arguing and jabbing is hilarious. Paul is so sensitive. Anyways, I'm beginning to think that Chad Jackson was held out for so long, not only because of injury, but because of something else, maybe lack of effort, lack of knowledge of the playbook. What do you guys think? Was the charitable event incident bigger than advertised? Is there some discipline issues with him? I hope not. We could use his athletic ability out there at wide receiver. I don't want another Bethel Johnson.
Also, I'll say is good email.
No, we said the same thing. So, you know, we don't know what the issue was, but we're just, you know, guessing. But it just seems like he was out there for three practices, and all of a sudden he was gone. We don't know when he hurt himself, you know, or how bad it was. And so we're just speculating, and we'll probably never know until someday either Chad Jackson writes his book or Belichick writes his book.
Right, but, you know, just to clarify once again, the charitable thing was no, like, oh, this was no big deal, because the Patriots took it as a big deal.
Sure. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And just to remind people that in the past, our Friday show, the 1 to 2 o'clock hour was always our time to go around the NFL and do our picks. We're now doing that on Thursday. We did it yesterday. In case you missed it, you can always check it out on the archive. You know, if you're depending on our picks for your weekly bets, and if you are, then you got more trouble than just finding it in the archive. But so we're going to do that on Thursday. Then on Fridays from 1 to 2, we're going to be joined, eventually.
We thought we were.
Yeah, by Michael Felger from 890 ESPN Boston Radio, and he'll be with us. And if in the event players come down to do interviews with him, because he's going to use that hour to tape interviews for his show that's also going to be played on Patriots.com radio from 4 to 7, we'll step aside, let him do that interview, but you'll get to hear the interview live on this show. So it's kind of cool. You get to hear it before it gets played later during the 4 to 7 show.
So Friday's a good day here on Patriots.com Radio. A lot going on. And I don't know, what's going on back there? I can't see.
The Felger's not there. I know
there's all these people in there, and Gary's doing all this stuff. Doug from Blackstone says, I heard a great thing about Dave Thomas in preseason, but he's not. I've heard great things about him in preseason, but he hasn't been mentioned lately. Is he injured?
No, he's not injured. I just think he's the third tight end, so it's going to take him a while to get into the offense. Let's be honest, nobody was really into the offense other than the running backs last week, so it's just going to take him a little time, I think, before he gets used to the NFL. And, you know, you're playing behind Watson and Graham.
Right.
It's hard to get on the field and catch 10 balls a game right off the bat.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a good thing. It means that Watson and Graham are out there, that Thomas isn't seeing a lot yet. But he'll get out there. He's got talent. He's a good ball catcher.
I really like him. I think
he'll
he's going
to be all
be
right.
Great.
So, don't look at his lack of reps as anything against him or injury. He'll be fine. Jared from URI, I don't think Chad Jackson's problem has anything to do with the playbook or failure to grasp the system, because I'm pretty sure that's what attracted the Patriots to him in the pre-draft meetings and giving him those quizzes he did so well on.
That doesn't mean anything. Let's just say, Jared, we may know more than you.
Also, you know, think about it. The Patriots rarely talk about the conversations that they have one-on-one with a player during, but they made a point to talk about that. Maybe they're kind of giving the guy encouragement. Hey, you can learn this stuff.
Right.
You know, it's not beyond you. You know, so you got to read between the lines a little bit when it comes to the information that comes out of.
We keep saying that, read between the lines, but it's not happening yet.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. And players are practicing, what, about 20 minutes? 1:30 today?
No, isn't that when the locker room?
Oh, the locker room's open at 1:30 today.
So they'll be done in 20 minutes.
Yeah. So players will be back in the locker room in about 20 minutes. And I guess Andy's going to be there. Is he going to be out there in the locker room?
Yeah, Andy and Kyle will probably be
Kyle
there.
Kyle will be there. Paul's editing. Oh, no, Paul has
Paul's
to leave.
He's got a quote-unquote wedding.
He's got a wedding and a gunquit, something like that. So
so he says.
Yeah. And as we speak, in comes Mike Felger.
Jeez, it's about time. I mean, I see this guy everywhere I turn except for here.
You know, he's going to be joining us on Friday. He's got his Dunkin' Donuts coffee and his laptop, and he's all set. And, it's live.
What's up, boys?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Nice to see you.
So now you're gonna be with us on Fridays?
Well, I guess there's going to be a little bit of an overlap, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah.
Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN Radio, Boston.
It's okay. You can say it. We're not going to censor you out.
I'll just say it again if you beep it out.
We've given, what do you got? You got the Herald. You've got your radio show. You've got your Fox Sports
TV
network
shows.
Show.
Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to the horse.
They've expanded. Yeah, you and Paul, you should go.
He's the new crocodile hunter, too. I think I saw him on Discovery Channel.
Is that a good thing?
I said the two of you should go into business in the red light district because you're both media whores. But I'm not kidding. But the Four Downs thing, that used to be one segment on their show, and now they've expanded it to a whole half hour.
Yeah.
So what's that going to be like? It's just you.
You haven't seen it yet, bro?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
This ball that he threw had nothing to do with the sports, Hernery.
Really good one-on-one, if I do say so myself. It wasn't me, but Brady, we had a one-on-one with Brady that was really good.
The whole half hour?
It was about 15 minutes of it.
Wow.
And he gave me a good chalk talk.
Nice.
Second edition, we didn't have Brady. It was a little different, but it's, you know, Borges is on it and Russ Francis is on it. Don Banks, SportsIllustrated.com.
Okay.
Some guys that you don't really get to hear from a lot around here. Ron, you know, you're doing some.
Now, Russ does a pregame show on ESPN Radio, right?
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
He's
part of the 890
ESPN
family.
So how come they can get all Tom Brady?
I'm on Russ Francis' show all the time. He makes you look objective, Fred.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Does he really wave the pom-pom?
Yeah.
Tom is one of the few guys here, I think, who still likes me a little. I mean, just a little. I mean, I'm not, you know, going to get ahead of myself here, but, you know.
Well, I like you, Mike.
Well, medium. Let's be honest.
What?
it's like a six.
Why do you think I don't like you? What makes you say that?
I'm not that likable.
I like you. I don't dislike you.
It was a Sally
Field. Now, this latest turn to the dark side, though, has me troubled.
Well, why is it a turn to the dark side? My job is just to report what I think and feel.
Well, you know.
Do you think this team is as good as it was 2 and 3 years ago?
I do.
You do?
I think it will be. I think at this point in the season, no team is, you know, what they will be. But I think by the end of the season.
I think in 2004, you looked at this team in week 2 and said, this team's loaded.
Well, I think this year, I think health-wise, you know, that's always the issue.
But not really, Fred.
But when Brewski comes back, that front seven's going to be deeper than it's ever been since I've been here.
I disagree with that 1,000%.
Why?
Well, linebacking core certainly isn't deep.
I mean, not even close.
I think Roosevelt Coven's playing better right now than he's ever played.
Well, that, talking about the starters.
Well, that's top-end talent. You're not talking about depth.
We already know.
2 years ago, Fred, who were the sixth and seventh linebackers? Do you want me to tell you? I'll tell you the fifth, sixth, and seventh linebackers 2 years ago.
Okay.
Ted Johnson, Rosie Colvin, Matt Chatham. That's pretty damn good.
Matt Chatham isn't that good. No, he isn't.
I think he's a. If he's your seventh linebacker, you're doing great for yourself.
If Matt Chatham was that good, he'd still be on this team because you're saying right now they don't have much depth. Why would they get rid? You know, why wouldn't they re-sign Matt Chatham?
Why don't they re-sign anyone? He got too much money somewhere else.
I think you got. You know, Vrabel, who's now learned the middle position, he can play anywhere in the linebacking.
As well as he can play outside, he can play inside? Do you believe that, really?
No, I think he's a better outside linebacker, but I think the experience he's gained on the inside makes him that much more valuable to this team, obviously.
Listen, Fred, I'm not saying they're a bad team, but if you think they have as much depth as they did two and three years ago...
You don't think the defensive line is now better than it ever was?
I'll take the D-line a couple of years ago. Ty Warren was coming off the bench a couple of years ago. Bobby Hamilton was coming off the bench a couple of years
ago.
So
what? Bobby Hamilton? What are you talking about?
Bobby Hamilton's a good little player.
Bobby Hamilton was good in this system.
He's better than Mike Wright, than John Sullivan.
Bobby Hamilton is another guy who has to thank Bill Belichick for resurrecting his career. When they brought Bobby Hamilton over from the Jets, people thought they overpaid him.
When you brought Bobby Hamilton from the Jets that first year, I think he got minimum money. I don't think they paid him. They took him off the waiver wire when he first came here.
They still paid him over $1 million, and people said he was being overpaid.
Bobby Hamilton.
People thought about Bobby Hamilton.
Bobby Hamilton's a good player.
Anthony Pleasant,
good player.
For this system. For this system.
Fred.
Because he didn't have to. He only had to do what they told him to do.
You got to play here. Don't you understand that yet? Haven't you picked up on that? When you're here, you're a good player.
You don't think Vince Wilfork's better than he ever was as a pro right now?
Yeah, you're talking top-end talent. I thought the discussion
was
depth.
That's where it starts.
I thought it was depth.
That's where it starts. You don't think Mike Wright has come on now learned that position?
I take Bobby Hamilton, Anthony Pleasant. I take both those guys over Mike Wright right now.
Well, with the experience, I think that by the end of the season, like I said, this team, you're going to say this team is as good or better than 2004.
I hope you're right.
Absolutely.
Believe me, I would love to say that you're right.
You don't think the running game now is better than it ever
was? Sure it is. But the receiving game is terrible.
You don't think the offensive line has the potential to be as good a line as it's been?
Fred, I spent all summer
blowing
smoke up the skirt of the offensive line.
That's my point.
I'm not agreeing with you, though.
You're taking this radio guy tact of, you know, I can't really just say what I really feel, which is I think this is a good team. I always have to have that edge.
Well, how are you putting that on me?
People are going to call me a pom-pom, and I have to worry about that.
It's just the opposite. Just the opposite. It would be easy. We're now ESPN Radio is tied in with the Patriots. I'm part of the family, fellas. Let's group hug here, right? The easy thing for me is to say, yeah, they're all set.
But you have to say why they're all set.
Fred, I have only one objective.
Okay.
The truth.
The truth.
I have only one agenda.
What's the truth, Mike?
My only agenda is objectivity.
Okay.
And I look at the depth. I look at the depth in the front seven.
Lying your ass off.
I look at the depth in the front seven, and it's not even close. Not even close. The top end talent, all agree with you, is comparable. But if they get one or two injuries, which they always do, they're in deep doo-doo.
If Vrabel gets injured.
Deep doo-doo.
Look, no. And Tom knows, I've been saying it since the beginning of this offseason, that linebacker core is not the way I want it to. You know, I agree with you. Brewski gets hurt. Vrabel gets hurt. They're screwed. I mean, you know, one of the things that I like is I really think that Colvin is playing better than he ever has.
Awesome.
I mean,
he was a freak last week.
Toward the end of preseason and into this game, he's really coming on.
Yeah.
You know, so that's an added thing. Now, Tully Bantakane,
I mean, that
I don't know yet.
Fred, I mean, you want to talk depth. That outside rotation used to be McGinnis, Vrabel, and Colvin coming off the bench.
Yeah, and
you don't get better depth than that. Well, the inside thing, Johnson, Brewski, Pfeiffer, that right there, my man, is depth. This team is nowhere close to that, certainly at that position.
But as far as McGinnis goes, none of us really thought that he was that good.
Well, you all think he's overrated, right?
I think that he's yet another guy like Bobby Hamilton who came over, you know, with Pete Carroll. He was supposed to be this good guy, the elephant, move him all over the place. We're going to use his talent. Never did much. Get him into this defensive system, give him a certain role. It resurrected his career.
Well, you know what? You know, Tom, you're laughing because this is another one of Fred's.
Yeah.
He's a player here, but nowhere else.
I agree.
But on this one, I agree with you.
I agree that McGinnis is a little overrated, but I'd rather have him than Tully Bana-Kane.
No, I mean, I think under Belichick.
I'll go with that.
Listen, what do we all used to think of McGinnis? A dog, right? We used to think he was a dog, always hurt, always nursing this or that, an underachiever.
You can't make the club from the tub.
Right? But under Belichick, he's tough and smart and gutty and one of the core guys. I agree with you. Willie McGinnis, as we know him right now, is a Belichick creation. I agree with that. Fine. Belichick's still the coach here. I'll take those players that play well under Belichick. You know, I don't begrudge them losing Willie McGinnis. I mean, the money got nuts there. Fine.
Right.
You know, you can't stay dominant year in, year out over a long stretch of time unless you try and stay young. I agree with that. Are you not a little bit concerned that they're losing now the young core is starting to filter away? I mean, you draft two guys in 2002, not even up high. Deion Branch, the last pick of the second round. Givens in the seventh. And you can't keep one of them after 4 years? I mean, to me, I don't know, that's concerning. You got to pay somebody.
Well, and I was just saying before you walked in and we had an email and I said, at some point you start losing more than you bring in. It's going to catch up with you. They keep losing. And I hear, well, in 2001 we lost Lawyer Malloy. But if you keep losing core players and you keep bringing in Monty Beisel, sooner or later that's going to catch up with the rest of the team.
Fred, a couple years ago, they replaced players at a level that was just – beautiful. I mean, was so good. You lose, you let Damian Woody go, here comes Dan Copen. You let Lawyer Malloy go, here comes Rodney Harrison, Eugene Wilson. Go down the line. Even, you know, they still do it a little bit now. You lose Joe Andruzzi, here comes Logan Mankins. Upgrade.
Right.
But they're not hitting at the same percentage that I think they once were. Lose Ty Law, here comes Dwayne Starks.
But you gotta remember,
Ted Johnson retires, here comes Monty Beisel.
Look at the state of this team when Belichick took over. Every guy was gonna be a hit. It was.
Well, who's arguing that?
Rutledge's, and, you know, they were starting from the bottom.
Of course.
You know, now.
Belichick's
now,
great.
It gets a little tougher. The way this league is set up is so that the better you get, the tougher it is to stay that way.
You know what I'm worried about, Fred?
Yes.
That they're just not interested in spending as much money as they used to on the
payroll. Oh, come on.
It worries me.
Why do you say that?
It worries
because
me.
Because they're $9 million under the cap or something?
They got a ton of cap room, and if you look at the money they've spent this year.
Right. They're not just going to spend it to spend it, Mike.
Richard Seymour, Stephen Nealon, that's it.
Well, I mean, they still got to re-sign Samuel for next year, Graham perhaps for next year, Copen.
Yeah, I heard these whole lists going back, and now the lists keep getting smaller and smaller because they haven't re-signed any of the guys. David Givens used to be on that list.
I know.
Deion Branch used to be on that list.
Do you really think, though, that they should have paid what the Titans paid for Givens?
No, but if they had given David Givens a legit contract offer the year before.
The year before, they were doing it with Seymour.
They get him for much cheaper, Fred,
than
what the Titans ended up paying. Much cheaper, and you keep some of your young players. So are you saying, so you believe a philosophy that you draft receivers and 3 years later, they're gone because you won't pay them?
Look.
And every 3 years, you have to recycle receivers?
If you get a guy like, you know, a top echelon receiver, no, you do try to resign him. And I think the Patriots have shown that there's certain guys that they put at a certain value.
I don't think they'll ever pay a top echelon receiver.
Well, frankly. I don't know. They've never had one. They've never had one, so I don't know. But if you have that blue chip talent that year after year is going to be in the top of the league, I would think that they're not that stupid that they would pay him.
Hold on 1 second. Tom, is this your call screen? Are those all the calls waiting online?
No. That's someone else's.
Oh.
DEI's right now. Do you want to
You know what? I was going to say, who's that? I don't even know who you're referring to.
We can really screw them up right
I was going to
say,
this guy right here on top used to call me at the other station. He hates me like poison. I was going to say punch him up because...
Oh, Chris from Halifax?
Yeah, he hates me like poison.
I think he emails us.
Hey,
they'll tell him to come on next week.
Doug says, Mr. Felger, you're the anti-Fred. I love it. I just wish Paul was here. Keep up the great work.
I mean, good God. I mean... This isn't contrived. The only agenda is truth, Fred. It's not as good as it was 2 and 3 years ago, and a lot of those things are beyond their control.
You're judging 2 and 3 years ago by the way they ended the season, yes?
No. Were, 2 years ago, Fred, they went 9-0 to start the season. What do you mean? They were, through the first 2 months of 2004, they were a juggernaut.
So now, right now, they're 1-0.
Right.
Okay.
With a fourth quarter safety against one of the worst teams in the league.
You know, I'm sure that 9-0, I don't remember every one of those games being blowouts.
In 2004, every game was a blowout.
Oh, come on, Mike. Look at the
Go.
Here's the media.
Adam Vinatieri did not have to make one game-winning kick in 2004, Freddie.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Well, they didn't have to have a game-winning kick in the last one either.
They led.
Safety.
I got to agree with Felger, though. I think people are just assuming they're going to be better than what they were last week. But if we go on one game, the Patriots did not play very well.
Right.
And they did not look that good. Now, if it goes two games, then I think we need to get concerned. Like I was saying to Fred, I don't care if they beat the Jets 20-17, but I better see some improvement out there in certain areas. Because if it continues, you got the Bengals, you got the Dolphins, you got the Colts, and they will not beat those teams playing like they did last week.
As
a matter
close.
Of fact, the Bengals will blow them out of that stadium.
There's no question about it. I mean, Fred, but the scary thing for me is that I don't know if they played that poorly last week.
I don't know either.
I mean,
you don't know how good or bad the Bills are. And that's one thing, look, the only thing we know from week one is that the Packers and the Raiders suck.
Oh, do they suck? Are they
and
bad?
I hate to say it, Mike, because I know you're a big Packer fan.
Oh, don't worry about it.
But, I mean, it's
no, they're awful.
Awful.
Oh, terrible.
That's
just
all
awful.
I know. I don't know how good the Redskins are. I don't know how good or bad the Vikings
hold up,
are.
Hold up. What was that, Gardecki, please?
Go, Pack, go.
Fred, thank God that wasn't me. I was worried that was me for a second there.
Fred, Favre.
You really don't know. And even if the Patriots beat the Jets, you know, Jets could turn out to be a pretty good team this year. You don't know. You know, you don't know which teams are going to emerge. You don't know if the Bears actually have this good defense
that
they think they have.
But in that aspect, the Patriots get the benefit of the doubt because people just,
think
they'll be good.
But why shouldn't they?
No, I'm just saying, they think they'll be good.
That's what I don't understand about scribes like Mike. Okay, look, I admit, I am a Patriots fan through and through.
Really?
Okay? Yeah.
Shocker. I really couldn't tell that.
Well,
yeah.
You said why shouldn't they? Let me.
Why shouldn't
Troy Brown is their number one receiver? The guy's about to collect Social Security. One of their number one linebackers is older than him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Antoine Smith was
Medicare.
Their running back, and they won a Super Bowl.
We keep going to
but
the past.
The point is, why shouldn't, when it comes down to, I don't know, why shouldn't the Patriots get the benefit of the doubt?
I didn't say they shouldn't. I'm saying that's what they are. They're getting the benefit of the doubt.
And they earned it. That's my point. They've earned it.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm rooting for the New Orleans Saints here and thinking this is the year.
What happens if Super Bowl? Do we still give them the benefit of the doubt?
Of course not.
Okay. Well, I just wonder.
But we're not there yet.
Well, I mean, Fred, that's what most everyone's done. I mean, that's why. I mean, these become.
That's why you need, in order to get your ratings up, to come out the other side.
No, I need to do it so I can look myself in the mirror. I'm a truth teller, Fred.
What? How have I been dishonest?
You were lying your ass off.
I just don't think you look at it objectively. I think you do give everything the benefit of the doubt. Oh, if the Pats sign him, he must be good and it must work out. I mean, they aren't 1,000%.
Ask these guys. There's quite a few players that I've said get rid of them, right? I mean, it's not like everybody who's a Patriot I'm in love with. And just because he's a Patriot, he's better than everybody else.
Hey, I mean, and again, this goes back to...
Tom's laughing.
This goes back to the actual payroll, Fred. I mean, I think...
You mean the cap that they spend up to every year, except for this year, which they're under?
Which they're way under, and they'll make up for it, but you hear that they're going to make up for it by treating Richard Seymour's option bonus a certain way and restructuring other money to just fill up the space this year without really adding other players to improve the team. I mean, that to me almost doesn't count. All right, that you've spent to the cap, but you haven't spent to the cap to improve this year's team. You know, you're just sort of, it's just moving money around.
You know, and
so is it all Bill and Scott? Is it from upstairs where they say, you know what? We've spent close to $100 million here the last couple of years. We've given Tom Brady and Richard Seymour between them $50 million in bonus money these next 2 years. The actual cash spent, you know, we're not Dan Snyder here. And I'm curious if that's part of it. John Kraft will be on Patriots Friday at 4 o'clock on the Mike Felger show. And I'm going to ask him, we'll ask him directly. You know, I mean, I think it's, to me, there's little excuse to be so far under the cap. When you're this close to championships and are in the middle of dynasties and whatnot, I mean, just, it feels wrong. I mean, they should be going for it every year now that Brady's in front.
Well, you know,
I agree with that.
Other than Dante Stallworth, okay, I guess they had a chance to go after some other receivers.
Let me give you just an example of a player that I thought.
Okay.
And if internally on their free agent board, he doesn't make sense to them, that's fine. But when people say, well, who's out there? Who was out there for decent money? I think Sam Madison goes to the Giants. He's a good corner. He's played in this division for a long time. Knows the receivers. I've always thought him to be a pretty decent player.
Yeah.
He went to the Jets for under $2 million a year, I think. And I don't know. Where was that sort of depth move? There was a time 2 and 3 years ago, Tom, where I mean, in 03, it's Colvin, Harrison, Poole. They trade for Ted Washington. The next year, they go and get Corey Dillon, who cost them $3 million by the time it was all said and done.
Well, they didn't
and then they re-up them. Where are all these sort of moves?
But they didn't all of a sudden take a dumb pill, Mike.
No, but you mentioned
the same management.
But did they take a cheap
Stallworth.
Pill?
You mentioned Stallworth, Fred. The Eagles got him for a song and dance.
No, I mean,
they got him for nothing.
And whatever reason, the Patriots decided not to get him. Maybe at the time they held out hope for Deion Branch. I don't know.
But there were players out there that they could have signed if they wanted to.
No, I agree. And, you know, I got a feeling that, you know, you're not going to make every offseason, you know, 100% success. I got a feeling that this year they're hoping for some things that might happen, guys, and it just didn't work out for them this year. And you're going to get caught that way every once in a while, and I think this might have been their offseason.
Now we're getting a little bit of a reality pill into you, Fred, finally.
No, that doesn't mean I don't
okay, that's
have
all
a
we're
good
saying.
Team.
I'm not saying they're the Oakland Raiders. I'm just saying they ain't the 2004 team that went 14-2 and dominated people week in, week out. Let's just start there. But when I go there, everyone says, oh, you're mini-me, mini-Borges, you're going to the dark side, da-da-da-da-da. All I'm saying is you ain't 14-2 anymore, son. That's all.
Well, I there was another line that you wrote was a week ago or so.
So now we're going to get picky, get to individual lines.
Well, yeah, when you throw out these little cheap shots.
For example.
I'm trying to remember it. It was something
give
about.
Give me the gist.
It was something about, you know, the Patriots won't be winning a championship anytime soon or something along those lines.
Yes. To me, not having a number one receiver for your quarterback for a season tells you that you're not really firing all guns to be as good as you can be for 1 year, is it? To me, that's not an unreasonable statement.
Do you think that Brady's going to start getting frustrated if these receivers don't step up?
Yes.
I mean, say Troy. We were talking earlier. What if Troy Brown gets injured? Can you imagine a guy we were wondering if he was going to even play a few months ago?
Well, when's the last time he was healthy for a full year?
So
01?
If he goes 2000? Down, what happens to this passing attack?
And he will go down. I mean, knock on wood, God bless Troy Brown. I'm not saying I wish injury on the guy, but it's been 5 years since he's been totally healthy. Through a year, he's going
to
get dinged.
You know, I would love to have everything at its full capacity every year, but you know that there's always, you know, you get strong in one area, you get weak in another, and it's a constant battle to keep him up. I really think that the condition of this running game is going to take a lot of the heat off of the need for Brady to pass for, you know, into the 4,000s this year. You know, and I can imagine Deion Branch and his agent looking at that and saying, you know what, there's a good chance if we play for that $1 million this year, we may not get the numbers
had. Fred, you're right. Deion and his agent really misplayed this. They must have been shaking in their boots the whole time.
That's the right play, Mike.
Because they certainly didn't get what they want. They played that one.
Mike,
damn.
But that's the right play.
What an idiot.
That's what I'm saying. You're not listening to me. You know, that's maybe one of the reasons why they held out.
I disagree. They held out because they weren't getting the money.
Well,
I don't care if they ran the wishbone here. If the dollars were here, Deion would be here.
Yeah, but, you know, the Patriots didn't have to trade him. You know, they could have made him sit.
Right.
You know, so that could have backfired on them.
Which part?
The fact that they got traded and got his money this year from Seattle. Okay, they knew they were going to get the money next year, as long as the Patriots didn't franchise him. And even if they did, he'd be getting, you know, the average of the top five. But it could have backfired. The Patriots allowed him to go out and be traded. You know, so you don't know. But I'm telling you, there was more than just money in the factoring of, we're going to hold out no matter what. It wasn't just money.
Well, was it? You're saying scheme? You're saying because they had good running backs, he wanted to hold out?
I think it was this whole principle with the Patriots, the fact that they thought they were screwed, you know, being forced to sign a 5-year deal instead of what they thought was a 4-year deal.
It kind of was.
Was it?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have let him report unless he signed the 5-year deal. If he wanted to play as a rookie, he had to sign it.
Well,
so it was hold out then or hold out now.
No player can do that unless they sign the deal. I mean, so is every rookie being screwed by every team?
Well, no, but I think that...
I mean, what player gets to sign a 4-year deal with the Patriots before they change the rule this year?
Well, Fred, let's put it to you like this.
Why is he so different than everyone else?
I think most of the NFL owners agreed the Pats, that policy of making those second-rounders take those long-term deals was not fair because they negotiated it out of the new CBA. If the other NFL owners felt that was so right, then why did they keep that in the new CBA? Why is that now illegal?
What did the Patriots do that wasn't fair? You mean by adhering to the rules of the CBA, they were being unfair?
I'm not saying unfair.
You just said it's not fair. You just used that word.
No, they took advantage of every rule that was available to them. Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely.
Jeez, you know, boy, the evil Patriots taking advantage of the rules that are available to them.
Fred.
My God, when they're winning Super Bowls, we're loving it. We're saying, you know, thank God we have an upper management that knows how to play this system to our advantage.
Super Bowls anymore.
then one year they get kicked out of the playoffs in the second round. It's, oh my God!
Well, no, Fred. I mean, there's fair, and then there's being within compliance of the CBA.
And which they always were.
We're always in compliance of the CBA, but I'm talking about the big scoreboard in the sky, the big fairness meter in the sky.
Right.
Obviously, the NFL determined that maybe those five-year deals for second-round picks wasn't fair because it's no longer legal.
Okay, well, the Cincinnati Bengals would have been doing the same thing all along, but no one would ever sign with them if they tried to do that.
Oh, they weren't smart enough to do it.
Let me ask you, Mike. Do you think that players around the league are not going to want to come here anymore because they've seen what's happened lately with the Vinatieri thing?
God, I've been people now. I mean, you want to talk about the true dark side. The Borges of the world have been telling me that for 4 years now, and it's never happened. I think that if the money's there, the players will come here.
Well, who's come here the last 2 years?
Yeah, well, the money wasn't there.
All right, listen, we got to take a break because we're going to step aside. Mike's got to do an interview, and if there's time, we'll be back.
To take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
And this is 890 ESPN and Patriots Friday, the Mike Felger Show. Back to your phone calls at 1-866-ESPN-890 in a minute. But right now, one of our guests, Troy Brown, Patriots receiver, joins us here at Gillette Stadium. Troy, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Going good. So another good week of practice and looking forward to getting on the field on Sunday.
Okay, a lot of stuff to get to. I want to start with last week and the game against Buffalo and the touchdown catch that you caught. The route that you ran, the way that you got open, I've just seen you do it for years. I think you may be one of the best guys in the league at doing it. I don't know if that was a linebacker there or a safety, but just the way you curled around him in the end zone and found that opening there right there, and Brady knew where you were going to be. It's just something you just do so well, and it seems to me you're always catching balls on that one specific route. What kind of route is that? What are you looking for there?
Well, it's just, like I said, we've been running it for a long time. You see a lot of teams doing it now, you know, these days now, and you know, of course, you know the areas down in the red area down there. It's tough to score, and the quarters are tight down there. So you gotta try to, you know, find a hole in there somewhere and sit down. And Brady put the ball where it needed to be in the red area, low and inside. So away from the defender, and you gotta be ready to go down and get him. You know, but it's something we've been doing around here for quite some time.
Troy, it's got to be an art, I would say, to find that little soft spot, because if you run too far, you're probably running into the other linebacker or safety who's in zone coverage on the other side, and if you stay too tight to that guy, you're covered. I can imagine for a young receiver, it's hard to get that down.
Well, if you don't want to, jerk the quarterback off, you know, and get up there and turn around, and then, you know, he's expecting you to go inside when there's a hole inside, and you pull outside, you know, and there's a defender out there, and then he throws the ball inside, and if he doesn't throw it low, it's probably going to hit the middle linebacker in the chest or something, you know. So, you got to kind of have a feel for it, and he's got to trust you to do the right thing, and I'm trusting him to, you know, make the right read with the ball also. So most of the time we're on the same page when we do that, and you know, of course, yeah, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Is that trust factor right now between you and Tom, Troy, more important than ever, given he probably doesn't have a lot of guys out there right now that he has that rapport with?
I wouldn't say it's more important than ever right now, but, I think it's always been important that with anybody that's on the field, you know, to be on the same page as a quarterback, you know, because you're never with a guy like Tom, you know, a guy who reads the field and throws the ball to the open guy. You know, you got to always, you know, be on the same page with him. So it's a little more difficult when you're out there, you know, when you don't have guys that's on the same page with you. So you got to kind of get up to speed with him and know what he's thinking. He's got to know what you're thinking. And you talk about it when you see it on film. And, you know, and you just get it done. You know, when you get on the field, it just kind of flows.
It's Troy Brown here at Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN. What was the mood of the team when you found out on Monday that Deion Branch was gone?
Well, obviously, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, was a little, you know, disappointed that the deal didn't get done with Deion, you know, and everybody, you know, I know myself, you know, I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but myself, you know, I fully expected him to be back here in New England, but, you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, I think guys, you know, took it, you know, a little hard, but, you know, we had a day off in between coming back to work, and it gave everybody a chance to call him up and, you know, and wish him luck and, you know, and tell him, you know, how great it was to play with him. And, you know, wishing luck, you know, with his new team, and then come back to work on Wednesday. It's time to move on and, you know, start taking care of our business.
How would you compare it to what happened with Lawyer Malloy in 2003? Well, was this worse? Was this not as bad?
Well, any time you lose a friend, you know, you're always disappointed, you know, and I think I've been around long enough now that, you know, I kind of, you know, have hardened myself to, you know, losing friends and losing teammates, you know, so you kind of expect things like that to happen every year. Now, you see it across the league, you know, and and it's just, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, like I said, they couldn't get the deal done. And, you know, I don't think I've lost a friend. You know, we always be tight, you know, no matter what happens. We see each other in the off season and call each other during the season. But, you know, it's still a little tough, you know, to see him in a different uniform. But like I said, you know, I'm happy for him if he's happy, you know, and we just got to take care of our business now on the field and, you know, try to put some more wins up.
I mean, talk about that trust now. I mean, I talked about with you and Tom. Deion and Tom really had that thing going, too, where they, the sight adjuster, even the post-snap reads, I mean, they were really on the same page. I think Tom trusted him as much as anyone he's ever played with. How do you replace that? Can you possibly replace that?
I don't think anybody's going to try and replace him. You know, my game was a little different than Deion's. It was similar in some ways, but a little different than his. And the guys we have now, you know, their game's different than Deion's. So nobody's going to try to replace him, you know, and it's going to be a group effort, you know, and we got to go out there and we got to support each other and rally each other on. You know, we're not doing as good as we should be doing, you know, encourage each other and, you know, and just play our game and make the plays when we have a chance to make them. So I don't think anybody's going to try to, you know, play the game the way Deion played it.
What was Tom's reaction this week? Do you think he's upset?
Oh, I think everybody, you know, Deion's one of those guys that he's a likable guy, you know, and he's always in the locker room joking around. You can hear him coming a mile away, you know, and always smiling, and he was just fun to be around. And so everybody was, you know, a little disappointed that he wasn't coming back, you know. And like I said, we had a day to get over it and, you know, kind of, you know, refocus ourselves on what we had to do, and that was the Jets. And, you know, but, you know, Tom's mood was, you know, pretty much like everybody else's. You know, he was a little let down by it, but he bounced back, you know. So like he said in his interview, you know, that he would, you know, didn't do what he should have done last week, you know, and that was to rally his troops.
Could you tell that? Could you tell he was distracted last week?
Well, I couldn't tell, you know, but, you know, that's why he's, you know, is a good leader, you know, because he never lets you know what, you know, he's thinking, you know, and even though he may be a little upset about something, you know, he tries to smile and, you know, be the leader that he is.
It's Troy Brown here on 890 ESPN. Troy, do you get the sense that Belichick and the way they build this team here, that receiver is not, I don't know, maybe one of the positions that they value exceptionally high? I mean, they draft defensive linemen in the first round. They've paid certain positions more than others. Do you think that in the Belichick way of thinking and team building, that receiver is maybe, I don't know, down the rung a little bit?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could get inside his head and figure that out. But, you know, I'm sure it's a group decision by him and the staff and Pioli and all those guys, you know, to decide those things, you know. But, you know, I don't know what value they place on the position. I'm sure they like to help playmakers there and guys that can catch the ball and get open. And, you know, and that's how he describes our job is, you know, if you're going to be a wide receiver, your job is your main job is to get open and catch the ball. And, you know, and I guess that's what he looks for in those guys. And if he feels like he can go out there and find it with a certain guy, then that's what he does. So, you know, I mean, you know, obviously Deion was one of those guys. But like I said, it was something that was out of my control, out of Tom's control and any other player's control, you know, as far as getting them back here.
From what you've seen, do you think Chad Jackson or Doug Gabriel are any closer to helping you out on Sunday?
Well, you know, I hope so. You know, I mean, the guys, I think they've been working hard, you know, and haven't seen everything they've been doing, but they've been working hard, and they're doing everything they can, you know, get back on the field. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll be back soon enough to help us out.
It's Troy Brown here, the Mike Felger Show, Patriots Friday. Talk about playing against Eric Mangini every day in practice for the last 5 years before this year.
Playing against him and playing with him, you know, it was fun, and it was also, you know, pain sometimes too, trying to figure him out. But, you know, he's a brilliant mind. You know, of course, he worked here under Bill, you know, another, you know, brilliant defensive mind, football mind, you know, and I'm sure he can come up with some schemes for you and make your life miserable. But, you know, I think he's a great coach. He's going to be a great coach, and I think he got those guys on the right track with the, you know, opening win on the road this year.
Are you anticipating that he's going to know the offense or how receivers move or what they like, what you like to do. He's probably not going to know, you know, Rashe as well or Doug Gabriel as well if he plays. Maybe Bam Childress a little bit. But, I mean, he's going to have some knowledge of you guys going into this game. What, how do you approach that from this end of it?
We just got to go out and, you know, and do what we do, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, knowing Eric, he's going to have some schemes, you know, and I'm sure he's probably not too worried about, you know, who's playing receiver over here. He's probably more worried about, you know, how he's going to defend certain looks, you know, and getting his guys ready to go in and playing their techniques. So, you know, and he'll have some things in there for us, you know. So we, you know, we gotta be prepared for, you know, his game and his players and his team, you know, because he obviously had him ready to play last week, you know, down in Tennessee.
Troy, what do you think of the running back situation you have this year between Maroney and Dillon? Always been run blocking among receivers here has always been important, always been stressed. Mm-hmm. It's even more important this year that if you can just get a body on someone downfield, you got a chance with Maroney going all the way.
It's always important to a receiver because if you can get the running game going, you can open up more lanes for yourself and in the passing game. So it's definitely good to get out there and get after people when you know in the running game as a receiver. So you know, when it does come time for you to get, you know, call a pass play, that, you know, you got a chance of getting it because you got more guys trying to come up and stop the run.
Do you sense that's happening already, that teams are really biting up and maybe respecting the threat that's in the backfield?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that. I think Buffalo, you know, mixed it up pretty good, you know, against us last week. So, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, this week and get a better feel for it. You know, that's the thing about the beginning of the season. You don't really know what teams are going to come up with and throw at you, you know, and you don't have much tape to look at. And then once you get into the flow of the season, you can kind of look back at some of the things they've been doing and, you know, you can get, you know, more of a feel for it. But, you know, this week, you know, we'll get a little more of a feel for what, you know, teams are trying to do to us.
Okay, Troy, thanks for the time. Good luck this week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, now.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Am I back,
Aaron?
Well,
we go from the professional to the amateur, right?
Oh, yeah.
Finger in the air. Hold on a second.
I don't know what this means. What does this mean? I don't know. Anyway.
We got Felger doing a radio speak during the break, and Fred doesn't even know if he's on the air.
I don't know. What did he say? I keep it dry?
Yeah, he keeps it dry. I got to admit, you know, he says a lot of stupid stuff, but that Felger has a hell of a radio voice.
I'm telling you, he's up and coming.
Right.
He's up and coming. There's a reason why he's, you know, the star of radio, TV, and, you know, every. When's the musical on Broadway?
The Felger Dancers?
Right.
Look at that douchebag.
No, he's doing well. So it's great. We gave our listeners a little taste of what Friday's going to be. I think that's great.
That was awesome.
That was a good interview.
So now tune in later, 4 o'clock, either if you're in your car on ESPN Radio Boston 890 or, you know, back here on Patriots.com. You guys stream now?
Yeah, we do. 890ESPN.com. I guess we also stream on Patriots.com,
yeah,
right? We
yeah.
just roll it right into that.
Yeah, so there's a number of ways that you can listen to Patriots Friday with Mike Felger on ESPN.
It's pretty
ESPN.
Good, Fred.
Yeah.
Just to cut in, I think it's great because Fridays, talk about a dry day. You know, if you're a media member, by Friday, the players have clammed up a little bit.
Yeah.
They shut down access. It's the locker room shorter. The practice access is shorter. And the fact that we're in here on Fridays with exclusive access and talking to these guys, I think is really good because Friday was sort of, I thought, an untapped
day. I'm glad you guys stepped up to do this because I definitely, like you said, it fills a void. And I think it's... hey, you know...
Little nut scrubbing never hurt anyone.
Look, the Patriots make no bones about, you know, putting out any type of content they can. At least we can come out with some quality stuff.
There you
right?
go. That's
right?
what I'm talking about.
All right, Phil, we were talking a little earlier. You know, I guess we were talking. We weren't yelling, right?
Not
but
all.
Phil from Austin says some positions are better, some are worse. Talking about the comparison between 2004 and now. Tell Mike Felger that in 04, Rosie Colvin was not good depth at linebacker. He could barely run, was absolutely awful till the last part of the year, and then he got a little better. In 03, they only had three cornerbacks, lost Samuel and Poole on their entire 53-man roster.
No, and Poole played the whole year in 03.
Okay. That's what he said. 04, the backup nose tackle was Ty Warren, who was playing out of position. The linebackers are worse, but the offensive line is much better. Wideouts are worse, but tight ends and running backs are better. The kicker's not as good, but the punter is a lot better.
I think those are all fair points.
It is.
To me, though, I mean, the key things, yeah, it's great that the offensive line is better and the running backs are better. I think, you know, what's really going to define it is can the defense week in, week out hold teams under 20 points? And I mean, it's defense that's going to win this team a championship, let's be honest. In 03 and 04, Fred, I keep saying the stat, and it's just a drive home how I think the team is not as good as it
used
to be.
Why does defense have to win it? Because I remember seeing this guy, Brady. I thought he was pretty good. Why aren't we, you know, let's give him some weapons, seeing, you know, he's in the prime of his career. And if you gave Brady a guy who was open all the time like Manning has in Indianapolis, be unstoppable.
I know, but...
Unstoppable.
And I agree with you, Tom, but think about it. Really just think about the offense right now. Okay? They're two good wide receivers away from having the most complete offense
right.
we've
but
seen
you know
in
what?
The last decade.
We keep talking about the offensive
line. It's not that far away.
We keep talking about the offensive line. I don't really want to see Brady on his back like I saw him against Buffalo all year and the hits he took last year, you know, against the Broncos and the Chargers.
Absolutely.
So this great offensive line we have, when it starts playing that way, let me know.
Okay. All right. I think it had a little to do with the 183 yards rushing, but, you know, maybe it was all Maroney and Dillon.
I'm not talking about the running game. I'm not talking about run blocking. They did
that part of it.
But I'll tell you why. I'd rather lose Maroney or Dillon than number 12. How about that?
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. And I think they did have some problems early on. I'm not sure it was all offensive line. Bill kind of alluded to it today. It was a number of things. On that first play, I really just think it came down to Buffalo had the right call against,
well, you know, I mean,
against the right offensive call.
It's funny.
And the guy was just not accounted for. End of story.
Okay, well, I mean, I put it on Dillon, but I'm not exactly sure, and I tried to draw it out of Bill today in the press conference today.
He didn't want to answer
a
it.
A little bit. He didn't want to go anywhere near
surprise,
there.
Surprise,
shocker, right? But if you go back and look at that play, Triplett slanted inside on Mankins. Mankins has got to take him. If he just lets Triplett go, Triplett's going to be there in two seconds faster than Spikes, and Light is right on Schoble. You're telling me Matt Light is supposed to let Aaron Schoble go free? No, he's got to take him. So, to me, it was either Dillon or either Brady and the receiver had to pick it up.
They just didn't think that Tekeo Spikes was going to blitz in that play.
Yeah, but even if they knew it, they still had three rushes and two blockers on the line on that side. So I don't put that one on the offensive line. I thought the offensive line played a little bit better than people thought, Tom. Just my sense of it, and when you're at the game, you can tell. When you're watching TV,
I was getting upset about all the batted balls in the first. All right, go ahead.
But yeah, when you're watching TV, you can't tell. But I did pay attention to the secondary, and I don't think guys were open. And I think that Tom, when he wanted to do his quick release and get rid of the ball, it wasn't there. And he was still sort of going through in his head, who can I throw this sucker to when someone was on him?
You got to admit, Matt Light was getting beat like a rented mule in the first half. I mean, Schoble was making him look like an amateur.
Wasn't good. I agree. Wasn't good.
Well, we'll see. I do think that they've got the core right now. And like I said, they're really two wideouts away from having one of the most complete offenses we've ever seen.
Only two wideouts?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, you can just pluck those guys off the scrap heap anytime you want. It's obvious. I mean, isn't that clear to you now?
Okay. But last year, it seemed like they were a whole running game away from having a good offense.
You can, Fred, you can get away without being able to run the ball. That's empirically proven.
They couldn't last year.
Well, they won two Super Bowls.
They won two Super Bowls with Antoine Smith.
Yeah, and toward the end of those seasons, he was racking up 90 to 100 yards a game, getting the tough yards, and they were able to run the clock out. They had a running game when they needed it in those years.
Yeah, I would say, with the exception of Baltimore and Tampa,
two teams that didn't have offenses that won Super Bowls, by the way.
Right, they had because
phenomenal
they had
defense.
Phenomenal
defenses. Disgusting.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, pretty much you've got to have some offensive
balance. You've got to have the balance.
You've got to have balance.
Absolutely.
And the Patriots, just back to what I was going to say, in 03 and 04. In 03, they were number one in the NFL in points allowed, which I think is the most important stat going for a team. And in 04, they were tied for second in points allowed. Those defenses, while not Baltimore, were the top of the league. Yeah. Are you telling me this defense is going to be top one, two, or three in points?
I think barring injury, it has the potential to be. Yes, I do.
When they play the Colts and the Bengals, we'll know.
And
because
here's
those are the two teams.
Well,
they
I wish they were playing the Bengals toward the end of the season, but you're right. That'll be a good indication of where their weaknesses are.
And if Peyton Manning comes in here and bombs them like they did last year, you might as well just pack up shop.
Yeah, and Fred, back in the day in 03 and 04, look at the number of man games they lost to injuries, the number of different starters they used. They used 40 different starters one year, 42 the next.
That was last year and the year before.
And they were still the best. Yep. No, last year was 45.
Right.
But, they had huge bad injuries in those two Super Bowl years, and they still got out of it because they had better depth.
Certain people said were Walmart-type signings, right? They were criticized for those players criticized in the media for the types of players, the precise types of players that came in and created the depth that you're talking about.
Listen, talk to me, because he's not.
Who's he talking about?
He's never going to change.
Is he in Oompa Loompa Land or something?
They went 9-0, Mike, in 04, when they were nine, the average spread was 6 points.
No, they won. I think they. Oh well,
6.4 points.
Those nine games for the
year. Right, that's what I'm talking about. They weren't killing people.
For the year, they had an average margin of victory of 11 points, which was number one in the league, Fred.
Well, they had the last game with 31-0.
Well, I mean,
that skews it a little bit.
Go back and look. Adam didn't need to make one kick that whole year.
Well, Mike, let me ask you. Do you think, too, we talk about the players, but we haven't talked about the coaches. In those years when they won the Super Bowl, they had Crennel, they had Weiss, who was using the short passing game to offset the running game. Are you confident that the coaches they have in place now...
What are you asking him for?
Because I know your opinion. I want his opinion.
But let's be objective. This is no indictment on Josh McDaniels.
And no offense,
he's not Charlie Weiss.
He's the talent.
Absolutely.
And
DPs could be as good as Romeo. I don't know.
No, that I agree with. I think DBs could be an upgrade. I thought Eric had a bad year last year. I didn't think he was a good DC, never mind a head coach. But Josh McDaniels, and this is no fault of his own. He's 29 years. He can't be as good as Charlie Weiss, and he's not.
Let's
just acknowledge that. Okay. And that doesn't make you Darth Vader to say that. It's just sort of being objective and pointing out a fact.
Okay. Do you like Star Wars, by the way? Because I know you're a big movie buff.
Yeah, no, I'm not a huge movie buff, but I do.
I thought you were
but I've been known to dabble in the Star Wars trilogy.
I heard you're a big movie buff. I'm not a big movie buff.
I'll dabble. I mean, those were good movies.
Oh, they were great movies.
Because you know why?
Why?
They were based on the story and not special effects. And these last three new ones were all...
The last one was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
Why?
Mediocrity.
Why?
It was good in comparison to those other two that were just
other
so god-awful.
Stunk, yeah.
Were just so bad.
Yeah. Well, I thought the last one was really good. It had me.
The strength of the movie is the story, good and evil. You know?
Yes. And even in that third movie, even though you know what happens, I thought I was still on the edge of my seat. I thought
it doesn't take much to impress Fred.
Well, the good and evil, it's like what we have here. We have good Felger and evil Fred.
Tom, you know what I've got
you
over
must
you.
Must be in another
right?
galaxy.
Do I need to go there?
Don't worry about
Come
it.
Come on, go there. Oh, he's got a Dallas. All right, you don't want me to complete the sentence, but you got a little something, something there on your body.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy. Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
That is grim. Really? Do you think I got a piece of cheese on my app? I mean, do you think I got a tattoo like that?
Well, you probably do from all the times the Cowboys whooped on the Packers in those playoff games in the early 90s.
Oh my God.
A chronic.
All right, well, this is going to be fun. It's a new voice on Friday.
Yeah, we can come and bicker at each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than... We used to have Jamie Keneally come in. All right. Okay, so that's going to do it for this.
After 11 seasons, I don't know. I think I get tired of getting
PFW in progress. We will check you out on Tuesday. Remember, it's Patriots Monday, and now is John Rook next, Gary? John Rooks, Patriots Playbook. What are you doing now?
I'm going to be sitting here in the studio waiting for players to come through and interview them exclusively.
So you're just going
to
keep doing this all afternoon?
Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN. Tune in.
This is the most hours you put in since you started
this week. You know, people like to say that. I'm the hardest working man in this town.
You do well, Mike. I have to admit that, Mike, you are... you've come a long way,
which is to say,
you're actually one of the bright lights in the sports media world in Boston.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. You came a long way and you left Paul in the dust.
Well, you know, Paul's on the rise too. It took him a little longer, but that's all right. All right, we'll see you later, Mike. We'll see you later, listeners. Check you out on Tuesday.